College football's regular season ended last Saturday. On Sunday, the 35 bowl games sent out their invitations to 70 lucky teams. But when you look closely at the bowl offers, you have to wonder if those 70 teams were really that lucky. I'm Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon. The people who sell bowl games need us to believe a few things. Their games are rewards for a great season. They offer players and fans a much-wanted vacation. The bowls are nonprofits, while the schools are making a killing. These claims are all very nice, and would be even nicer if any of them were true. 40 years ago, college football got by with just 11 bowl games. The 22 teams they invited were truly elite, and so were the bowls. Bowls like the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. When your team got into a bowl game back then, you knew they had done something special. But the number of bowl games has more than tripled to a staggering 35, including such timeless classics as the Meineke Car Care Bowl, the Advocare V100 Independence Bowl, and the legendary TaxSlayer.com Bowl. How many TaxSlayer.coms fit into a bowl? That is a question for theologians. To fill this glut of games, they need 70 willing teams. But there are only 124 teams out there, and obviously only 62 are above average. So some bowls have to settle for teams that didn't even finish in the top half of their sport, let alone their conferences. This year, 13 bowl teams did not even have winning records. When your team gets into a bowl game today, you know they must not be on probation. What used to be a special trip is now a chore. If they're not going to one of the elite bowls, most players tell me they would rather skip the 15 mandatory practices and a trip to Shreveport or Boise or Detroit and stay home for the holidays. Fans feel the same way. Very few bowls sell out, and a third of them draw fewer than 40,000 fans. You could fire a cannon in those stadiums, then go find the cannonball and fire it again, and you still wouldn't hit anybody. This is all silly excess, but it crosses the line into corruption when you start to look at the finances. The bowls are legally nonprofit and want you to believe the schools are making out like bandits. But the only ones not profiting are the schools and their players. It's the bowls themselves that make all the money, and the coaches and athletic directors who receive bonuses from their schools for dragging their teams to these games. Here's how their scam works. The schools have got to pay for their own flights, hotels, and meals, which adds up pretty fast for 150 players, coaches, staffers, and university VIPs. Then the bowls force them to buy thousands of tickets they can't even give away, and that sets up the final outrage. The bowls make the schools accept far less than the advertised payout, right down to nothing for the honor of playing in their bowl, which is exactly what the Motor City Bowl actually paid Florida Atlantic in 2009. Shameless. Only half the teams lose bowl games, of course, but almost all of them lose their shirts going to them. Millions. That's bad enough, but get this. The men in those ugly blazers who run these nonprofit bowls walk off with hundreds of thousands of dollars in salary, all for setting up one game a year that no one wants to play or watch. How do you fix this mess? Simple. Prohibit forcing schools to buy tickets they don't want. Make the bowls actually pay the schools what they proudly announce they're actually paying them. And while we're at it, make the bowls pay for the schools' travel expenses too. If the bowls think it's all still worth it, and the better ones will, great, more power to them. Everybody wins, just like the old days. But if they don't, they can close shop and end the charade. They will not be missed.